Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Not gonna do it. Not gonna do it. I am not gonna sing Faith of the Heart. Because you know what? I don't have to. I don't have to sing Faith of the Heart because I have worked really hard in my career. I have earned the right. I have done all the lowly jobs in order to be in a position where I don't have to sing Faith of the Heart if I don't want to. In fact, you could say that it's been a long road getting from 30. I've literally scrapped myself up my own joke. Anyway, yeah, we have been humming and hawing. Let's do another Dolphin Series episode. And everyone in the comments is like, you haven't done the NX-01 Enterprise. I'm like, oh, we should do another Dolphin Series episode, but just can't think of a ship to do. And everyone in the comments is like, you've not done the Enterprise. From Enterprise, do that one. And we've just been like, yeah, just big shame. Can't think of a ship to do. So here you go. Here you are. Are you happy now? Here is NX-01 Secrets You Need to Know. Just take my flesh next time. It would have been less painful. And you know what? Let's just cast all that cynicism aside for 1 second, because this is a very special episode of the Dolphin Series, because we haven't just scoured technical manuals. We haven't just scoured the internet like we normally do. We have gone to the man himself, the myth, the legend, the G, Doug Drexler, to ask him all the things we don't know about the ship that we should tell you about the ship. And he went, oh, you know what? All right. I'll tell you. And tell us he did. So now this is me, Adam Cleary, on Trek Culture, telling you. Number 10, Faith of the Art. Now, back in the day, the show was just called Enterprise. Not Star Trek Enterprise, just Enterprise. And when they were coming up with the design for the ship, they had the entire spectrum of Star Trek ship design to go from. First Contact wasn't long out, so you basically had the Phoenix at one end of the spectrum, all the way to the Enterprise E at the other, and the designs were all of them somewhere between the two. Specifically, illustrator John Eaves in 2001, when talking about the design of the ship, said pretty much the same thing. He would go from one end of the spectrum, the Phoenix, to the other end, the Enterprise E, and it was just never quite what the producers of the show wanted to see. And then something happened. They went through all the existing ship designs, all the things that had been kicking around which hadn't really had too much screen time, and they found the USS Thunderchild, the Akira-class ship from Star Trek First Contact. And something began to gestate between the designers and the producers, and the idea of just literally using that ship was floated. Then, of course, the art department got wind of this and went, whoa, you can't just use a ship from 200 years in the future and think nobody's going to notice. The internet will lose its damn mind. I would have lost my damn mind. But if that's what you want, if you like that design, we can start to build something around that. And they started incorporating elements from the Thunderchild into the overall look of the new NX-01. And, well, pretty similar when you look.
It might be a myth, but there is at least the story that the producers wanted to wholesale use the CGI model from First Contact, the Akira class.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
How did you feel about that at the time?
Peter Lawrence called me and said, can you get the Akira model from Foundation Imaging? I said, yeah, I could get it. And he had suggested using the Akira. Nobody saw it, he said. It's like a new ship, you know. And Herman and I were both really disturbed by that. But if you look at Star Trek history, it's not unusual. You know, in the Next Generation, you could find pictures of Herman Zimmerman and Rick Berman looking at the Enterprise A from the movie series. They were considering using that. So they're always trying to save money, you know.
Number 9, a new ride. It's a story that never gets widely talked about, this, but because there was such a small amount of time between Voyager ending and Enterprise starting, and there being all this pressure from the network to really get a snappy turnaround on it, they were literally deconstructing the Voyager set during the filming of its last few episodes. Like, Kate Mulgrew and Rob Picardo both talked about the fact that they would literally finish a scene in one room and then they would just delete the room, which you'd think adds a real emotional heft to a show like that. You've been doing it for so many years and the ship is being destroyed around you, as you filmed me last season. Anyway, that's another story. But the thing is, while it's another story, it's actually a much bigger story than just the destruction of Voyager, because those original sets, the ones that would become Voyager, actually dated back on that Paramount lot to 1977. They were built for that aborted Planet of the Titans Star Trek revival film slash series or whatever the hell it was supposed to be. Then that got repurposed into the motion picture, which stayed around for the movies, which ended up in The Next Generation, which ended up in part of Deep Space Nine, but largely went on to be Voyager and the Enterprise E. Like, we've done loads of videos about the reused sets. They all dated back from 1977, and then at the end of Voyager, they just got, boomf, knocked over. Which means that if Star Trek Enterprise had anything that none of the other shows did, as well as, of course, Hoshi, my heart, it's that it had brand new sets. For the first time since the 70s, they actually built new sets for Star Trek. Stage 9 had been home to pretty much every single thing Star Trek for decades until this point, but Enterprise was filmed on Stage 18 with brand new ships and brand new walls and brand new floors and brand new everything. It is interesting. Don't look at me like that. Number 8, Star Tracks. Just want to quickly take a moment to throw some appreciation at Paul Sutherland, who writes these wonderful articles for us, because Star Tracks has really amused me. Well done. It was actually Paul who spoke to Doug Drexler himself. One of the most interesting things he came out with was the detail in this ship that we never saw on screen was insane. Like, because of advances in computer technology, they were able to realize everything about the exterior of the ship in microscopic detail, meaning they could just throw all kinds of practical or useful or interesting things onto it, and whether the show ended up using them was another matter entirely. But one of the best ones by a mile was this.
They did an episode called Minefield, where they had Malcolm like trudge halfway across the primary hull to get to this mine that was on the hull. It really makes them look unprepared and stupid, okay? That they have to walk and carry stuff halfway around the hull. You can see the grid work on the hull and the plate work on the hull. And the idea is that there are cars that you could ride to any section, rise up out of the hull and ride to any section on the ship to do repair work. Not only that, the NX has an arm, several arms, like the International Space Station, so it could remotely, you know, fix things on the warp themselves without anybody ever leaving the ship.
Now, if you, like me, hear that and you go, oh, that's a real shame, that these cool cars that could just zip around the top of the ship and these arms that would come out to fix themselves. That's so interesting. Why did they never use that? I actually thought about it for 5 seconds. And the reason they never used that is because where is the drama? there's a mine on the ship. Okay, I'll just take the car. Oh, the water cell's broken. Oh, that's cool. I'll just use the claws. It removes all the drama. You need things to break and be terrible and be bad and be underprepared, because otherwise, what are they doing every week? Number 7, Cover Girl. Well, would you look at that? It seems an early version of the ship went out in marketing materials and promo stuff, and it wasn't the finished version of the actual thing. Now, unlike other ones we've done in this series where they've changed the overall design, or they've changed the colors, or they've changed something dramatic about the ship, the change that was made in the Enterprise between when it ended up on this magazine cover and when it debuted in Broken Bow was very small, and it was literally very small. It was literally a percentage change in one of its components. Just gonna give you a couple of seconds. This is the TV Guide Enterprise. It was the first time anybody saw it. Just look at that. Does anything look slightly bigger to you than it is in reality? Anything? It's the windows.
If you look at that compared to what was on the show, one, it was brighter, but you'll notice that the windows are a couple of percent larger on that model. And I liked that better. I thought it made the ship seem more vulnerable. Somewhere along the line, they made the window smaller.
It did live, though. It did survive just being on that TV Guide cover. That is the same model they used for all the internal instruments. That's the version that's on all the instruments. Number six, from Akira to NX. What was that? Adam, didn't you just do an entry where you talked about the direct comparisons between the Akira-class USS Thunderchild and the NX-01 Enterprise? It would be really weird if you then did an entry which talks about the differences between the two, wouldn't it? Yeah, it would, but guess what? Now, yes, okay, you look at it, you see the twin booms, you see the big notch at the back, you see the overall shape of the saucer section, you do see large similarities, and yes, it is true that initially the idea was floated to just use the Akira class for the NX-01 Enterprise, but Doug, the man who would know, told us that the similarities are not as obvious and not as prominent as a lot of critical fans may have pointed out.
If you put the Akira next to the NX, they really don't look the same, but the one thing that it does have that it borrows are the twin booms that are like a P-38 Lightning.
Right.
That was the perfect idea to not have a secondary hull. And Starfleet had done it already to freak out and get pissed off because this came from the Akira. That's crazy. They're the ones who's crazy. Just look at Starfleet ships. The whole aesthetic is, they all borrow from one another. It's mixed and matched.
Do you know what? He's right. I always quite like the fact that it looked similar to ships that existed in the future because, and yes, this is very much hindsight being 2020, but think of the criticism the Discovery got because it looked nothing like any other ship we'd seen. Like, the fact that they took design inspiration from a ship in the future means that you can make the narrative argument that the Akira class took design inspiration from the ship in the past. One big happy fleet.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Number five, a primitive beast. Now, one of the major similarities between the Akira class and the NX-01 is that big pod thing that it's lugging behind it. Now, on the Akira class, that is where all the whooping is stored, but on the NX-01, it is something completely different. Now, I always thought, incorrectly I might add, that's where the engineering bay was, because, I don't know, that's just how I pictured it in my head. I know engineering's in the source section somewhere like that, but I always thought that was engineering. And while I was wrong, I wasn't totally wrong, apparently. According to Doug, that bit is there to show that the ship is not as advanced as the Star Trek ships we are used to. It just never really came up in the show. Like, the idea is, in the Star Trek of the future we all know and love, the warp bubble, the warp field, is generated by the nacelle that surrounds the ship and allows it to travel at faster than light speeds. Now, of course, the warp nacelles did do that on the NX-01, but they weren't as advanced as the ones we knew, and they couldn't properly generate the bubble very well. They could, but it wasn't symmetrical, it wasn't safe, so they had this special generator at the back of the ship which made it far more shapely and luxurious and made it a lot more safe. Never came up on the show, but that's what it was for.
Yeah, Mike and I decided that to make the ship a little more primitive, the warp field that it generated was not symmetrical. It was asymmetrical, and that created a problem. It could be dangerous. So that pod was the symmetrical warp governor, and basically that additional generator could shape the warp field for it, and they still needed that when the refit rolled around. Eventually you get rid of it, you know.
The idea behind having this big lumpy thing at the back was to make it not look as sleek and as well thought out and as well rounded and as sexy as something like the Constitution Clash, because that is all just one shape here and one shape here and one shape there, whereas the NX-01 was lumpy bit because they hadn't figured everything out yet. It kind of makes sense.
It looks like an ironclad next to the Constitution Class. The Constitution Class is sleek and smooth like a marine animal. It's not like any spaceship you've ever seen before. The NX-01's got plates on it, and it's primitive next to the Constitution Class.
Number four, sexy engines. Anyway, speaking of the Enterprise and all its sexy, sleek bits, despite it trying to look far more primitive than that ship, Doug did admit that they snuck in loads of cool little references to the original Enterprise as and where they could, and look no further, my friends, than the warp nacelles. On the original Enterprise, the ends of the nacelles with their hooded cones suggest exhaust. That was remedied by adding spheres. I kept that for the ends of the NX nacelles, but split the sphere in two. If the front of the nacelles looks like penises, I compounded that by making the ends of the NX nacelles look like a girl's butt in a thong. I thought that was fair. Girl's butt in a thong. A girl's butt in a thong. Anybody else? A girl's butt in a thong? Maybe I've just seen the wrong butts. Number three, Mod Squad. Alright, yeah, there was the train cars and there were the robotic arms and all this cool stuff we never got to see, but one other thing that was literally listed in the design schematic but never appeared on screen was this bit, the back of the main hull, the back of the saucer section. Now you, like me, might expect that to be a shuttle bay because that's just where it is on every other ship, but no, it is not a shuttle bay, not according to Doug.
If you look at the back of the secondary hull, yeah, there you go. Look at the back of the secondary hull. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a little platform on the back with a couple of hangar bay doors. Okay.
This
engineering. Yes, that's engineering staging area, basically. You could also use it to bring in supplies and things like that. But if you take out that center section, you pull out those pieces, there is a tunnel that goes to engineering. And the entire engineering department can slide out and an entirely new one can be slid in. So that's something most people don't know.
So you open that up, you could just slide out the entire engineering. You know when they eject the warp core and you always think, oh, that looks very satisfying coming out in a big tube from the bottom of the ship. That, but for the entire engineering bay. I like that, although it would presumably just crash into the pod. Similar to this, there are four large hatches on the ship that were designed to open up and just be fly-through space for little worker bees or smaller craft. The idea being that they could then load the ship up with everything they needed in zero gravity instead of having to do it far harder in a gravity-based environment. Again, no story about this on the show because admittedly, it does rob some tension. Although, ejecting the entire engineering department would have been fun. Number two, Refuture. Now, of course, Enterprise ended at the end of the fourth season with We Are the Voyagers, and here on Trek Culture, we never, ever, ever like to talk about that episode if we can help it. But the Enterprise did get new life, let's say, 6 years later when it debuted on the Ships of the Line calendar, or at least the SS Enterprise did anyway, and it looked like this. Now again, if you like me saw that and thought, oh, that was a cool idea, they should have done that in the show, well, that was the plan from the start, apparently.
If you look at the NX, the proportions are almost the same as the 1701, because the idea is that it's growing towards that design. When I was designing it, I was taking a secondary, we knew we would make it more primitive by just having the saucer and the nacelles,
yeah,
and that they would eventually build up to an engineering section. Plug it up. Look, everything on Star Trek is like that. Even the phaser. It's got the pistol phaser. The hand phaser goes on the top. The battery pack goes on the bottom. The Enterprise was the same way.
Yeah,
it was modular, and so that was the idea that it. So while I was designing it, I was taking a secondary hull and placing it underneath and adjusting the symmetry of it to work with a secondary hull from day one.
And quite interestingly, Doug says that once people found out about this plan, that it was all supposed to build towards a more complete ship, it really did reframe the design of the NX-01 in the minds of a lot of fans. And the guy got heat for the look of the thing when it first came out. People were like, wow, that's a pretty ugly starship you got there. Guess I won't be watching your show. But once they found out about the plan and how Star Trek it was going to look and how it was all building towards that, and that, if anything, was the entire premise of the show, when you think about it, people love it now. I don't hate the NX-01. That looks lovely. And knowing that it was going to look like that makes it even lovelier. Number one, you got to try this pole. All right, here, the main event. The main event is a pole, right? And I'll tell you why. Normally when we dig up these articles, when Paul or me or Marcus, whoever, goes through all the facts and tries to find something about these ships that we didn't know, admittedly, you can't find 10 things that nobody knew. We always get people in the comments being like, oh, I knew that one, or I knew that one. And to be honest, we knew some of them as well. It's just that, you know, the majority of people tend not to know all these things. So right here, right now, Secrets of the NX-01 Enterprise, number one, is something that I promise you that you didn't know. Because I didn't know it, because none of us knew it, because nobody knew it. The only person who knew it is Doug, and Doug told us.
You know that when you're on the bridge, to either side of the main viewing screen, there's a door. And the idea is that if you go out that door, there's a dark gallery that runs around the bridge on either side, circular gallery that has windows. Those windows you see on the bridge, that's where they are. And there's a gallery. Now, if you go outside those doors, there's a fireman's pole that you could slide down to go to engineering.
Okay.
You could jump on that pole and go straight down. Why wouldn't you? You know?
I mean, that's always been kind of a funny thing about Federation ships, is everybody takes an elevator everywhere. Nobody takes stairs or ladders for the most part, unless they really have to.
Firemen have fireman's poles for a reason. It's not just because it's fun. Whee! Ride the pole down. Because you're down there instantly. And if you look at the cutaway, engineering is like a deck below them and aft a little bit. So you jump on that fireman's pole and you go down. I wish we could have shown that. That'd be awesome.
There is a pole. There is a pole on the Enterprise NX-01 that you can slide down to go to engineering, because they thought that would be really, really cool and it would just look awesome. And I can't believe they didn't use that in the show. Like, we occasionally get to see just a little bit around the corner of the bridge and stuff like that, but they never showed us the pole. And the idea was that firemen use these poles for a reason, because they're quick and they're convenient, and engineering is just below the bridge. So why on earth would you not have a pole that you could just slide down and go? That's such a good idea. Doug, you absolute stone cold legend for including that in the design of the ship. We are furious with every single 2-bit writer that decided every single week, not going to do the poll, not going to do the poll, I'm not going to bother with the poll, we've got other stuff, the poll is not necessary. Let me tell you, lads, the poll was always necessary. In fact, the poll is so necessary, I'm debating renaming this series from the Dolphin series to the Poll series, because the poll is just so... You could think of all the fun possibilities. You could have to poll on a poll, which is funny when you say it in a certain way. I despair.
Yeah, I really enjoyed talking to you. I regret that we didn't reach out to you about Deep Space Nine or about, you know, a number of the other articles that we've done. I hope that we can do this again, talk about, you know, I have no idea what now, but, you know, there's got to be something.
You know, it's one of my favorite things to blab about since 1966, so.
Great, love it. Yeah, well, I really appreciate it, Doug.
It's great to meet you.
Yeah, you too. Take care.
All right, I'll see you on the internet.
Yes, absolutely.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.